Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and all we need to set up our next guest is the title of their book and one fact from it. The title, Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength. The fact, willpower is related to glucose levels in the blood. So let's talk about the psychology and the biochemistry of willpower with John Tierney, the New York Times science columnist, and Roy Baumeister, director of the social psychology program at Florida State University. John, welcome back. Roy Baumeister, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
John, why would willpower be the greatest human strength and not honesty or integrity or doing unto others as you would have them do unto you or things like that?
Willpower is necessary for all those other virtues. And when psychologists look at the two traits that predict success in almost any area of life, in your personal relationships, in at work, at school, in raising children, they find that it tends to correlate with either intelligence, with both intelligence and with self-control. And they don't know how to do much about intelligence, but they have figured out how to do willpower. Roy has.
Professor Baumeister, can you define willpower? John just made it sound like it's different from self-control.
Willpower is a key ingredient for self-control. That's the strength or the energy that you use. There are the things that contribute to good self-control, like keeping track of what's going on and knowing what your goals are and so forth. But willpower is the energy that enables you to get it done.
And what is it... what is it biochemically? Because I want to get to that. You write that it's more associated, that it is associated with glucose levels in the blood.
Yes, glucose is a chemical in your bloodstream that carries the fuel that from the food you eat to your muscles, to your organs, and to your brain. The little chemicals that enable your brain cells to fire, that enable your brain to do all its activities, are made from glucose. The term means sugar, but it isn't specific to sugar. It's something that can be made from any food that you have. Now, we find that self-control seems to use up quite a bit of this, that it uses a lot of energy. It's perhaps a more complex or more expensive kind of psychological process than some other things.
So if glucose is sugar, that doesn't mean birthday cake is willpower food, right?
Actually, we do in the laboratory when we want to give people to restore their willpower or something, we do give them sugar. We don't recommend this for ordinary everyday use because sugar gives you a quick burst of energy and then you crash again. It goes quickly up and quickly down again. So for best results in your own life, you want to use something like protein that your body will burn to make fuel over a longer period of time.
John, you're right that willpower is more associated with academic success than intelligence is. Why would that be true?
Well, because intelligence helps you, but you've got to be able to do the assignment, to have the discipline, to keep studying, to sit there and do it, to follow instructions. I mean, it's just so crucial for everything you do that it's essential to all the other virtues.
Does that mean that girls have more willpower than boys? Is this the same as the ability to sit still and quietly and focus?
Men and women and boys and girls seem to have about the same amount of willpower. Boys and men have less self-control, probably because they seem to have stronger impulses. So they have kind of the same amount of willpower, but young boys especially have stronger impulses to deal with. And the big problem with adolescence is that you've got an adult's impulses, but only a child's willpower to deal with it.
Do you want to add to that, Dr. Baumeister?
Oh, that's completely correct. So when we test self-control in something that's the same for boys and girls, for men and women, they perform about the same. But men have much wilder, aggressive, and sexual impulses, and even just the restlessness and wildness. And most people know that right from the very first day they have a child. The baby boys scream louder than the girls, and they are more likely to start crawling around and climbing the carpets and all things like that. That's long before the self-control develops.
And later they're more likely to set fire to the neighborhood and little things like that.
that is unfortunately true.
Listeners, any questions about willpower or thoughts about willpower for our guests, John Tierney and Roy Baumeister, who have written this best-selling now book, Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, or you can post your comment or question to our webpage at wnyc.org. John, you say that Dr. Baumeister, I'll ask you this because I think it's your research that estimates we spend 4 hours a day battling temptation. How did you come up with that number?
This study, that estimate emerged from a big experiment where we had a bunch of citizens in a city in Germany wear beepers for a week, and every time the beeper went off, they were supposed to say, at the moment, are you desiring anything? Are you resisting it? Are you going to do it despite resisting it? And so forth. And so we were able to extrapolate from how many of those responses indicated that they were resisting. People are having a desire about half the time that we beep them, and about half of those they were resisting, a little bit less than half of those. So that's how we extrapolated for the estimate of how much time a day people spend on these.
So if it's 4 hours a day battling temptation, how does that break down? Is that an hour and a half not eating the ice cream you're obsessing about in the fridge, 2 hours not telling your boss what you really think of him, or how does that work?
It counts all desires that you resist, whether it's resisting the desire for a cup of tea or to go to the bathroom or to have a cigarette and so on, anything. And actually, one of
that
the biggest...
That cup of tea impulse, that is really powerful.
Yes, well, the cup of tea turned out to be moderate in strength, but the least conflicted. That is absolutely, of all the desires people have, they have the fewest conflicts, and so they tend not to resist that one very much.
John, if your subtitle is Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength, did we lose sight of it?
Yes, the Victorians had this idea that it was a muscle that you could strengthen, you could build character. And then the whole idea of willpower fell out of favor in the 20th century for various reasons. People thought that, you know, that we, and some people doubted the existence of the will. And then what happened was that Roy, in his experiments, they discovered that it really is this energy and that it's a muscle that can be strengthened through exercises. Just, you know, sitting up straight improves your willpower. So they found ways. I mean, for the book, we talked about a New Yorker, David Blaine, and how he trains for these amazing 44-day fasts and holding his breath for 17 minutes. And he sort of did the kind of exercises Victorians did and that Roy did in the laboratory, these training things to build up your willpower muscle.
Katie in Bedford Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Great show. I just wanted to know, you were talking about the glucose and the protein, and I was just wondering if it would help, for example, a teenager who can't seem to study, if diet could help with their willpower to study.
Dr. Baumeister?
Well, I think very plausibly it could, that the diet improvements in diet have been shown. I mean, we don't have studies directly bearing on that question, but from what we know, yes, it does make sense. There are studies even showing that, say, improving the diet of imprisoned conflicts, so, you know, of criminals, they start to behave better and they get better self-control when they start to eat a healthier diet. So it seems like it's worth a try with teenagers, too. Again, though, the key problem is what John said, is that you reach the teenage years with a child's self-control and an adult's desires and impulses. So it just takes a little time for the psychology to catch up, and you sort of want to work with them to help them learn to set rules and control themselves and slowly get better at this.
Cedric in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. My question was if your guests had any had observed how these impulses based on gender and how willpower control pertains to addiction, how the different genders either tend to succumb to addiction and how they recover from it.
Anything on that, John?
Addiction is a very tricky thing. We have a chapter talking about Mary Carr and Eric Clapton, how they both stopped drinking, and it's a they did it by finding a higher power, and we discuss that. Now, we don't say that God is causing this, but we discuss why 12-step programs have been shown to work to some extent, and how what behavioral economists call setting a bright line rule, that at some point you make that decision that you're not going to do it anymore. And it's a mysterious process, but there's very interesting studies on how that happens and what happens once you make it.
Louise in New Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Hi. thanks for taking my call. I've read the whole book very carefully.
Wow.
It's extremely well written, and it has a lot of practical techniques. However, I was wondering, what is the specific neurochemical basis for exhibiting what you call control or stopping ego depletion? What are the neurotransmitters that have been associated with willpower, the same way that serotonin is associated with depression?
Do we know, Dr. Baumeister?
We do not know that. I mean, some of the neurotransmitters are made from glucose, and so that harks back a bit to what we were talking about earlier. Thus far, what we've been able to do in terms of the biology of self-control looks at the body processes, and there's some exciting new work, which we touch on in the book, Todd Heatherton and so forth, with some brain scans. But to go from that to the chemistry and say exactly what are the chemicals that are working there, that might take a few more years. It's a great question, great agenda for research, but I'm sorry I can't tell you today.
And you're right in the book, John, that willpower is associated with time of day. What time am I the strongest against temptation?
For most people, that's the morning, because sleep and breakfast, you know, that restores your willpower. And then as you go through the day, these 4 hours of resisting little desires all day long and also making decisions. You know, that's another thing that Roy discovered, that simply making a decision what to say next, you must be depleted by the end of this show. You're making constant decisions.
Yeah, and I always, you know, mess up and let people off the hook in this 11:45 segment. Or maybe that's why telemarketers always call at night.
That's a great story, because people do tend to just go along with things. At the end, you know, once you get this decision fatigue sets in, you either tend to just duck decisions altogether, or you just don't think it through and act impulsively. So,
David in Woodhaven, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So my question is, I've always been told that when someone quits smoking, that the weight gain commonly associated with it is due to, like, smoke and layers of, I guess, smoke coming off the tongue and the taste buds makes you hungrier. But now hearing this, it makes me wonder if that willpower needed to quit smoking is somehow having a need for an extra meal in the diet, something like that.
Anything, John?
That's absolutely right. In fact, Roy's studies have shown that after you exert willpower, you want something sweet, in fact, because that's a very quick way to replenish the glucose. And so when you're exerting self-control all day long to deny yourself a cigarette, your body is sort of craving this extra glucose that it needs to deal with that.
Jerry on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? I just got one observation.
Whoops. Sorry, Jerry, we lost you there for a second. Start again.
Okay, hi, gentlemen. Just thinking about self-control, willpower, and nutrition, I have a lot of friends, not a lot of friends, I have some friends that are obese that have PhDs, and I have a lot of friends that have great diets, but they're compulsive gamblers. So I don't know how nutrition really plays a role in willpower or self-control.
Dr. Baumeister, it's a fascinating question.
Yes, well, we see one of the core themes of the book is that your amount of willpower is limited, and so people allocate it to different things. And we see people who have good control in one sphere of their life and let other things go. And that's just how you have to manage it. It's like a muscle, and you can't do everything at once.
And we just have a minute, but John, you're right that people use willpower in the wrong ways.
People tend to rely on it for emergencies, and they think, I'll use my willpower to get through this, and I'll go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, but I'll only have this. It's better off to use your willpower to avoid those crises and conserve it so you've got it there, to set up habits and conserve it so it's there instead of counting on it for crises.
So you say people with more self-control are less likely to find themselves using willpower to resist temptation. Does that mean willpower and self-control are different?
Well, a willpower powers self-control, and basically Roy has found that people with great self-control use it less during the day because they structure their lives so they don't have to use up their willpower.
It can be parceled out.
Yes.
Well, as much as I would like to talk to you guys all day and actually just run over and, you know, Leonard Lopate show's coming up, forget him, you know, we're just going to keep talking about willpower. And even though it's late in the show and I should be weak at this time, I am going to use my willpower and say goodbye to both of you, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having us on the show.
The book is called Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength by John Tierney, the New York Times science columnist, and University of Florida State Professor Roy Baumeister.